श्री प्रभुपाद की
जय।
सो टुडे इज स्पेशल डे, इज द अपीयरेंस डे ऑफ अद्वैत आचार्य। अपीयरेंस डेज एंड डिसअपीयरेंस डेज आर एक्सट्रीमली स्पेशल फॉर वैष्णवस। इवन फॉर मटेरियलिस्ट दीज आर वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट टाइम्स ऑफ rites of passage or samskara, when we honor an appearance or disappearance. It's especially important for Vaishnavas because it's time or opportunities we have in reflecting on particular ways of how Krishna extends His mercy. When He comes Himself in His incarnations, avatars, and performs awesome leelas, according to Desha, Kala, parts of the time, place, circumstance, according to the Yuga Dharma, according to the way that He is annihilating the miscreants, exposing the deviation, according to the way that He is extending His affection, His compassion, and His love. So some different incarnation will take place. And according to different incarnation, there are also different associates who appear with Krishna each time that He comes into His own universes. So there are many, many pastimes associated with Mahaprabhu and His great devotees, many pastimes associated in connection with Advaita Acharya. I'll just share one because of our time. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains how dangerous it is not to be very conscientious when one is engaged in the royal path of devotion. Let me ask you, what do you think is one of the most dangerous things, is most devastating to aspiring devotees' progress? We hear that there's many things to do, many things not to do, poverty, nivritti. Poverty, the things that we do in executing devotional service. Nivritti, the things that we must be very careful to avoid. Aparads, offenses. Of all the issues, areas, we have to be most careful if we want to excel in our devotional life, that we particularly have to be careful about aparads. The elephant offense, of course, is most extreme. But any type of aparads are offenses. Just like there are certain things that we expect if you're a soldier, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, you're an engineer, certain criterion that allows one to be recognized, certified, considered to be bona fide. And there are also activities that even though one has become endowed with the ability to serve society in that way, there are certain things that a person can do that can cause them to lose their license. Certain things the person can do that can cause them, even though they were once previously recognized, they no longer can practice. Just like a doctor can be involved in malpractice. Someone can be an accountant, they can embezzle and get caught. Just so many things that even though one is authorized or was previously authorized, one can lose their ability to practice, or their progress and acceleration can be slowed down. So there's this one pastime in relationship to none other than Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya's own mother, where he allows us to tune in very profoundly to the danger of offenses, of aparads, and how we can be in the right place at the right time. We can be having wonderful association, at the same time, we can miss out. We see stories like of Ramachandra Puri, who was in the association of the Nitya Siddhas, but he lost his opportunity to progress, was literally cast away from their association. We see the case of Junior Haridas, of how he also had the association of the Lord and His most exalted devotees, but because of improper consciousness, aparads, that not only did he lose the opportunity to be with such devotees, but to a certain extent his spiritual life was checked for some time. Well, in this particular case, what had happened is that Lord Chaitanya had an older brother named Vishwaroop. And Vishwaroop was very detached towards secular material things, but was extremely attached to the devotees where there was bhakti. And this is a sign, natural sign of a devotee. A devotee is not just trying to avoid, but trying to be fully absorbed in wherever there is chance to associate, to glorify, to be with the Lord and with other bhaktas. And derives extreme happiness and nourishment, matita magatapana, boyantis chaparasparam, katayantis chamanicha, tushanti charomantija. Bhagavad Gita explains, devotees are so enlivened as they get the nourishment from hearing about their most beloved, hearing about the Lord. And so, here we have this amazing story where Vishwaroop was so excited to be in the association of Advaita Acharya. But now something happens. Whoever we associate with, or whatever environment we associate in, we naturally pick up some of the consciousness of the person and of the environment. It's one of the powerful things about a moment's association with the high-level, unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Because they are fully absorbed in just hearing, thinking, remembering, chanting about the Lord. Since their consciousness and their dehi is fully absorbed, possessed, in animated love, that in associating with them, one somehow by fortune, by seemingly accident, which is mercy, that some of their love spills over. Just like someone who has a very serious contaminated disease. So as they move into environments, some of the germs and some of the disease also spills over into the environment. And according to one's immune system, a person can become infected. So similarly, according to the immune system of the individual, will determine to what degree they're infected by the wonderful blessings of bhakti that radiate. And that spilled over. So Vishwaroop, he was having a very surcharged immune system, eager with transcendental greed for the higher. So by associating with Advaita, who was so affected with love of God, that Vishwaroop, of course, became influenced. And Vishwaroop, like a long story short, took to a life of simplicity, of renunciation, had no interest in orthodox scheme of things. And Sati Mata, she was very disturbed, but she did not express it much. But then later, after Vishwaroop left, that her son, Mahaprabhu, also began to associate with Advaita Acharya. Now she became very irate. And she even once said that others may see and call him Advaita Acharya. Advaita emphasizing non-dualistic. But she said, but he is Dvaita. He is dualistic. He is duplicitous. And he is cunning. Her reflection was that by his actions, he has cunningly somehow tricked her first son, or encouraged her first son to take to a certain life of renunciation, and now it's about to happen to the next. So, in one particular pastime, Mahaprabhu was manifesting his opulence and his divinity as Lord Narayan, and then as Bhagavan Krishna himself. Took the shala grounds, put them on his lap, and devotees his eternal associates were around him, and they saw his mood. They complimented his mood. They had umbrella over his head. They were fanning him. They were all in the mood of now worshiping him as the summum bonum. And in that exchange, devotees were coming, and they were offering prayers, and they were asking for benedictions, and they were directing the Lord to give blessings here, give blessings there. And one or two of the devotees came, and they asked the Lord to give special blessings to Sati Mata, to give her full unalloyed love of God, love of himself. And Mahaprabhu became disturbed. Now this is his own mother. And he said that he could not do it because she had been an aparadhi, that she had made an offense. And that only if she herself would take shelter of the person she had offended or would apologize, get the dust of the lotus feet of Advaita, who she had made the aparan toward. So here Krishna is showing us how dangerous it is, and also the science of how to be relieved when there is aparan. We can close one and put on the air conditioner if you want. And so he began to explain about the life, the story of Ambarish, and how Ambarish had been offended by Devasa Muni. And Devasa Muni, he was a very powerful yogi. Had all kinds of siddhic or mystic powers. It's a little lower slightly. Amarish was very simple, but very, very pure. A carrier of higher bhakti. And so when Devasa Muni offended Amarish, that Krishna Sudarsan Chakra chased him. And even though he had all of this power, he was totally bewildered, frightened, running for his life. And he even appealed to Krishna himself, but Krishna could not do anything. Because he explained to him that the process, obviously, is that one must receive forgiveness from the offender. There's a story of Gopal Chakravarti, who offended Haridas Thakur, also was quite astute in austerity and to a certain degree knowledge. He's really considered a smarta brahmana, one who knew a lot but did not really understand deeply in heart and in consciousness. There are often people who know so much. They know Bhagavatam, they know Vedas, they know Upanishads, they know so many things, they know so many rituals, so many yajnas. They can perform so many pujas. But they are professional Brahmins, professional gurus, professional sadhus, who are not in line in consciousness, in awareness, and in association with the spiritual world. They simply conceptualize, they speculate, they interpolate, they engage basically in mental gymnastic and the physicality without really developing the inter-consciousness of awareness. So in this case, it was Gopal Chakravarti, he was like that. He had heard Haridas speak and lecture how one who was just at the dawning states of love of God, Namabhas, can be able to attain liberation. And this Madhya Brahmana thought, who is this sentimental bhakta that after many lifetimes sometimes of study and all kinds of austerities, one still may not attain moksha. And he is saying that even at the dawning phases of the chanting, before even having love of God, chanting the holy name, that one can attain liberation, moksha. And so the devotees, they just told Gopal, you do not understand. You are just smart to Brahmana. You're not fully understanding. But he was so angry at Haridas. He said, if this is not possible, then he was making a curse that Haridas' nose would fall off. He was so angry at what Haridas was saying, thinking that he himself was understanding and was of a higher caliber of bhakti. And so Haridas very humbly said, if it's not true, then he himself was ready for his nose to fall off, would honor such. And the acharyas explained that Gopal, later he caught leprosy, and his nose fell off. And there are many stories in the Shastra that explain the danger of aparads. We realize that we must be careful as we engage in the chanting, that we avoid the 10 offenses. It's the way we connect ourselves with the parampara, is that when we take initiation, an integral, substantial part of the yajna, of the ceremony, of the samskara, is hearing about the offenses and allowing the initiate or candidate to drink in the understanding so as they receive the beads with their holy name, blessed as well as their new name, that they're understanding, yes. And now you've been formally a part of the parampara system, but this is what you must simultaneously be cognizant of and be aware to not engage in making the offenses to the holy name. Because the understanding is that all this that we are doing in this yajna, this ceremony, that the efficacy, the effectiveness is based on not involving in chanting the 10 offenses, making the 10 offenses. So we have the nam-aparad to avoid, offenses in chanting. And then we have such thing as called seva-aparad, that we come now into the Sadhu Sangha, the association of the Vaishnavas. And we have many opportunities to have all kinds of services. But now as we engage in those services, it is dangerous to come close to the Lord and not to be in proper consciousness. Like the more great the person is, the more there is specific particular etiquette of how to associate. Like Australia is part of the Commonwealth, right? So, say the king, the queen, Prince Charles, someone comes, whoever he is, and the government or the host understand there's certain etiquette in receiving them. If ambassador, president, prime minister, there's certain etiquette. And if it's not followed, it's considered to be a great offense. Even to the point that countries can go to war just based on their major representative being offended. Offending a president, a minister of foreign affairs, ambassador, is a direct attack on that country that the person has a sovereign connection with. So the more exalted that person is, or the situation, the more it becomes important to associate, relate in the right way. So seva-aparad has a lot to do with the field of activities, the services connected with the Supreme Lord, say the greatest person. And so when this is why in so many systems of religiosity there is no deity. And it is not that sometimes the acharyas of those systems do not understand or know something about the deity. It's just that they do not have, or their ambassadorship or their commission is not to bring people to that level of confidential connection with the Lord. It's not really that Jesus, even Muhammad. What does it say of Sankaracharya Buddha? It's not that they did not have some cognizance of the murti aspect of the Godhead or of the personal aspect. It's that they understood that this is very powerful, and because it's so powerful, it is also dangerous if it is not approached or served in the proper way. Something that is very powerful, when it is used in the right way, you get maximum benefit. And when not, you can get maximum chaos, problems, destruction. It's like a doctor, surgeon. Do you have any surgeons here? Anyone a surgeon? Medical doctor? Any medical doctors in the house? Okay, if anybody gets sick, you're the medical doctor right there. So, sometimes we know that there has to be very delicate operations. Say, for instance, a brain operation or heart operation. So it's very delicate and very powerful when you save someone's life. But at the same time, sometimes the more delicate the operation is, the more careful one has to be, and the more risk there is in taking someone's life. Something that is very powerful, if it is done in the proper way, you get wonderful results and benefits. And if not, that can be the most tremendous danger and devastation. So, by the fact that we have deity service, we have the Lord's own name, the holy name, we have blessed food, prasadam, taken by the Lord in the remnants, and many, many other things, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, all of these ninefold activities we do are extremely powerful, but dangerous. Because if we do not honor them in the proper mood and consciousness, then it becomes such a great offense. If we hear tomorrow morning a headline in the newspaper that the U.S. ambassador last night got drunk, was driving his car, and ran into a pole and totaled his car, it will not just be an embarrassment to that ambassador and his family. It is an embarrassment to his colleagues, and it's an embarrassment to the country that he is representing. Because he is not just a man or woman, or even just a family person, but it's someone who's representing a sovereign power, country, sovereign state. Each devotee, once having enlisted in the Parampara system, is not or no longer just a man or a woman, an Australian, American, an Indian, a European. No. Now one is representing the mission of Mahaprabhu. And therefore, great, wonderful opportunity for acceleration, for blessings, for growth. At the same time, one who does not honor and respect the situation properly, what chance to be such an embarrassment and to literally to sabotage what is so royal and so merciful for the entire planet. So Lord Caitanya was allowing us to understand a little bit more about this by the fact that his own mother, he requested that she must do what? That it was her duty to apologize or get the dust at lotus feet of Advaitacharya to be able to be freed and forgiven for her offense. And so she waited until on one particular pastime where he was absorbed in thinking of his worshipful Lord, hearing the holy name, associating with so many things connected with his beloved, and went into a trance state, altered state of awareness, where then she could sneak and touch his feet and get the dust of his feet. Because when he himself heard this, he says, no, how? That Satimata, she is the mother of God, of Krishna, of Mahaprabhu. She is non-different than than Maya Soda. She's even better, not different than the Ganges. How can I consider letting her degrade herself to touching my feet and taking the dust? But she, knowing that he would not do this consciously, when he was absorbed in the altered state, and then she took the dust. And Mahaprabhu has said that when she did do such, then she would immediately attain full love of Godhead. So whether we're talking about how the case of Ramachandra Puri, of how he was in association with Mahaprabhu and eternal liberated Nityasiddhas, but still he made aparat. From that aparat, he lost the association. Case of Junior Haridas, he had such great fortune, such great boon, but he abused it. And this is the Vaishnava aparat. So from the Nam aparat, from the Shaiva aparat, Vaishnava aparat, then there is also what is called Dham aparat, or offenses that we can make as we associate in the sacred pilgrimage places. There's so many people who go to Mayapur, go to Vrindavan, go to various sacred pilgrimage places with the devotion, they get cursed. Their aparats bring an auspiciousness to them to that of a level of like an intense curse. Sometimes chronic disease, or things begin to fall apart in their life, one thing after another, because these holy places are surcharged, because in many cases Krishna has had pastimes there himself. Many times his eternal associates have had specific divine pastimes there. And all the time people come, sadhus, sages come, and they are intensely praying, engaged in their bhajan, they're intensely engaged in their puja, and so it creates a tremendous, powerful, force-filled environment that makes that environment different from Kali Yuga. It brings some of the higher yugas, and sometimes even some of the culture of the spiritual world, directly into that environment, even though it's here in the material plane, in the material world. And so such situations, again, are very powerful for blessings and acceleration. Anything that's done good, that is devotional, it is amplified more times than it would be in a normal situation. But at the same time, something that is executed or done that is a deviation is also exponentially amplified or magnified. And so in such situations, it is not different than being with a great environment or with a great devotee. In each case, there is great chance for growth and acceleration and blessings. And at the same time, there's great chance to have even credits taken away. So it's one of the most powerful things, especially healthy sadhu sangha. We say sadhu sangha, or satsang. Sat is truth, and sangha is the gatherings of the gathering. So the sadhu sangha, satsanga, has so much to do with people coming together in a very intense way, trying to comprehensively understand what is truth and to honor it, to own it, to act by it, and to live it. And so such environments become wonderful chance for growth and for advancement. But at the same time, one must be very careful to take the medicine proper. Isn't it true that powerful medicine is also dangerous? Because sometimes it can be so powerful, if you don't take it right, you get all kinds of complications, the reactions. And so there's doctor gives you the prescription and it's written on there, it's to be taken like this. And if not, then it can cause some unhealthy types of reactions. So we're all very blessed that by some unusual mercy, that we're having a chance to come closer and closer to a very confidential aspect of religiosity, a chance to be enlisted in Krishna's eternal, Lord Chaitanya's eternal entourage, as we make a chapter of the Chaitanya tree or branch, a chance to, just as Satimata, to be able to experience full love of Godhead once there is removal of any anarthas or any weeds. The last, of course, we said namaparad, dhammaparad, sevaparad, vaishnavaparad, and of course guruaparad. Aparad to our acharyas, aparad to the ambassadors who are to represent, particularly represent the theology. So all of these cases are chances to serve nicely and to have tremendous realizations, unfoldment and progress, to get the mercy of the Lord, or where the mercy can be stopped. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving out the mercy in this exalted state. People, the devotees, were coming to him and he was giving blessings individually and honoring their prayers. And then a few of the devotees said, yes, and please give your full blessings to Satimata. He said, no! Immediately he became disturbed. Said that she has been an aparadi. That Advaita Acharya had been offended. So, the more surcharged or pure that the atmosphere is, then the more dangerous it is and when it's not honored properly. Just like, for instance, if someone came here into the temple and they were intoxicated or a little bit deranged and they have the shoes on and they're talking loud and they have no understanding that this is a sacred place, we tactfully try to escort the person out. Not because we do not want them to have the blessings of Mahaprabhu. Not because we do not want them to have the blessings of the environment. But it's that their consciousness is causing them to incur all kind of inauspicious karma because of being offensive. And so for such person coming in an offensive state, they will be hurt by the environment. Been better that they have not come in, they come making offenses. And so this is another example of the potency, but if coming in the wrong attitude, wrong consciousness, it can do the opposite. It can even take away from even previous credits. I'll give you a last story. Remember the story of one great yogi, Sobari Muni. He was also someone like Devasa Muni, with certain siddhic powers and certain siddhic perfections. And he was very austere, would meditate, do his vrats in the river. But once he made an offense toward Garuda. Because Garuda is not an ordinary bird. Again, the more potent, the more spiritual, the more blessings, when something is done right, the more danger and reaction if it is done improper. So, he made this offense, you know, toward Garuda. And after he made that offense, he was just underwater and seeing two fish engaged in conjugal activities. And where this was something always around him, he was never disturbed, but now, because of the offense that he had made, his immune, spiritual immune system had totally altered, become altered. And so he was influenced, agitated, disturbed, to such an extent that he left his vows, his austerity in the water, and went out looking for sense gratification. So he went to the palace and he requested the king to give him one of his daughters. And the king was shocked, because the king looked at this sadhu who was asking now for one of his princes, one of his daughters. And the king was thinking, you are a material failure and you are a spiritual failure. Spiritual failure because he had forsaken his vows. A material failure because he had been so much detached for such a long time from society. His body was all wrinkled and withered and from the austerities, and from being in the water. And the king was thinking, you marry one of my daughters? But he also knew the power of the Brahmins and the yogis. And so he said, so without telling him no, he said, any one of my daughters who would like to marry you, you have full right to marry her. But he was thinking, none of my daughters would even want to look at this wretched yogi. I have him out of here in a second. Now, Sobari, by having such austerity for so long, he did have certain city powers, and he also had the power to read the mind. So he picked up the thoughts of this king. And he left and said he'll come back and he'll let one of the daughters choose him. But he left and he transformed his body with his mystic power into a very, very handsome looking prince. And when the king's 50 or so daughters saw him, everyone wanted to marry him. So what did he do? He married them all. Had many children, had so much life going on. But then at some point, he began to realize that he had really become entangled. Many of you know the difficulty and just the entanglement of one wife, one child, and sometimes you get two, three, some may even have five or six. And it is wonderful, but it is also a wonderful task and obligation to feed them all, educate them all, take care of them. And that's a wonderful, joyous burden, but it is intense. Now imagine 50 wives. So he became at one point overwhelmed. And of course he began to realize what had happened, how his conscience had changed. So there are many, many pastimes and stories in relationship to how our consciousness can change based on particular fits, or based on Krishna no longer being actively present. And the most classical example, of course, is what the devotees are reading in Sydney. They're reading from the Bhagavatam section where the Yadu family go back to Godhead. And how Arjun, who was very powerful, was Gandiva bow and had been blessed by the celestial hosts, and even was honored by them with awe, that after Krishna left, Arjun became defeated by just common cowherd men. And this is also commiserating that there is so much power and empowerment and blessings and opulence and auspiciousness when Krishna is present in our consciousness, when Krishna is happy or pleased about what we do. Something that is extremely difficult, seemingly almost impossible, becomes a probability and a reality if Krishna is pleased by the Krishna variable, Krishna factor. And when Krishna is not pleased, so something that normally can be very easy becomes so difficult and sometimes impossible because Krishna is not pleased. So we want to constantly do things that will be pleasing to Krishna. We want to constantly do things that will allow us to do the right thing in the right way, at the right time, so that there's constant acceleration in our devotion. And we don't have to be so intense and uptight that we're just thinking, I don't want to make an offense, so I shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. We will not be active and will not develop the culture of love. We just have to have sufficient fear of Maya, humility, and spiritual greed. And in this way, Krishna, who's in the heart, isn't he? Savas, Samsanivisto, Matakshmatir, Gyanamapo, Anamcha. Krishna, who is in the heart of every single person, will guide us because he is responding already to the resultant of each of our desires. Whatever desires we have, how they add up, they are producing all kinds of things in our lives. So because Sachi Mata, although she had made this offense, but in her heart she really did not want to be an offender. Because ultimately, of course, she's pure. And Krishna used this as a way to explain things to others. And so because of that, then she was informed and given the opportunity for rectification. So we do make namaparat, dhammaparat, sevaparat, vaishnavaparat, guruaparat. If there's sufficient humility, spiritual greed, Krishna will help us to see where the stagnation has come from. But if there is arrogance, or too much ahankara, false ego, or too much minimizing what greatness has come upon us through the form of the deity, of sadhu sangha, of temple mandir, of sacred pilgrimage places, of Vaishnavas, and of guru, if we minimize all or any of those, then we'll deal with some unfortunate types of reactions. We pray it never be as intense as Gopal Chakravarti with a nose fell off, or Ramachandra, who was then sent away, or in the case of Junior Haridas, who committed suicide and became a ghost. Even in the case of Gopal Chakravarti, after he died, he had very unfortunate situation, because sometimes one's sin is not only in one lifetime, but it may be carried through the other lifetimes. Sometimes an aparat can be so huge or so serious, it can affect the whole family, it can affect the entire village. In some cases, it may even go on for generations. We want to look at the blessings. We do the right thing devotionally, that the whole family, the village, many generations can in fact be blessed. And there are people who have tremendous family life that's highly blessed because of devotees and their family or pious people who have given a great benediction to that entire family. So we all have the chance to give great benedictions to our families and also to our communities, by taking advantage of something that's very rare, honoring it, giving it full protection, and being able to recognize that it's mercy and letting that mercy just unfold and magnify instead of the offenses, magnifying. So we stop now. It's time for, I guess, Arti. But this is just one small pastime of Advaita Acharya where Sachi Mata had made an offense. And he, in a very, very humble way, had no desire for her to get the dust from his feet. But as he became overly absorbed in his beloved reflections on Krishna, then she took full advantage to get the dust. And Lord Chaitanya said, as soon as she would make such arrangement, or begging for forgiveness in this way, she would immediately experience full, unalloyed love of God. And she did. So if Mahaprabhu was even chastising his own mother, Sajimata, then what to say of ourselves, how we must be very careful as we execute the devotional service and follow this royal path. Because we have seen too often, too many times, people come into the Vaishnava Association and then somehow they become overwhelmed with some maya. It's not just a matter of just some initial attraction, but in many cases it's due to the spiritual immune system becoming weak that has to do with aparats. Wasn't that Sabari Muni just got attracted to maya extemporaneously? It was that, yes, it happened, some particular catalyst was there, but it happened because of the offense. We've seen sometimes people, even in big positions, they may fall. It's not because of just something extemporaneous, but it's because of aggregate of offenses, and then it directs the consciousness to something of a lower scheme. Because it means that the Krishna protection isn't there. Based on the person's offense, removes them out of the blessings and protection. So, we stop now? I take one or two questions? Okay. So, may we have time? We have time for a few short questions, if anyone has.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm coming. One second. Let's have Kim first. Huh?
What do you do if you have to understand so if the family has been in the past? How can you recuperate?
So, he's asking, what do we do if a person has committed an offense in the past? This is what we said, by being humble we can avoid offenses. But in Kali Yuga we know that it's so easy in some way to make some type of offense. Krishna does not tax us so much if it's unconscious offense. The worst thing is when we make offense and we just don't care anymore, or we lose a sense of gratitude. But our mind should always be realizing that there are different things we do that are offensive. So we should always be in a mindset of praying for forgiveness and asking for guidance. Because there are many things that's happening around us that we're not always fully cognizant of the effects, but Krishna is. So just like when the pujaris, they do the service, when they come off the altar, they go on the altar in a mood of submission. When they come off, they're asking to be forgiven for any offenses. And so it's all a part of the service, of the ritual. And so we should also be similar in the mindset of realizing that it's time to time, offenses may be made, consciously or unconsciously, but we are begging to be forgiven, and we are even more so begging to be used in the way that will give the Lord and Guru the greatest pleasure. And as we're also rather selfless in trying to think of the welfare of others, Krishna will automatically help take care of the welfare of ourselves. Yes, in the back.
You mentioned the story in Srimad Bhagavatam of Maharaja Ambarishi.
Yes.
Respecting and worshiping the Tulsi, like Dharma Mantra, offering flowers and the water to the
Yeah, so, as you so nicely have explained, that one who is making aparad or speaking pajapa or speaking aparad is very dangerous, and even to be in association of such person or to hear such is also very dangerous. And that's why if we are in an environment where someone is being offensive in such a way, we should not remain in that association. If possible, we should try to change the conversation. We can ask, try to direct the conversation towards something that is auspicious. And if that is not effective, then we should not allow ourselves to tarry in such an environment. Because it's the same again as when someone is very spiritually surcharged, what they speak, what they touch, becomes musitadirya or blessed, and we get blessings, mercy from such things. And somebody who's contaminated by sin, empowered for destruction, etc., then also, like an infectious disease, what they are saying coming from them, some of the things they touch and move about in, becomes a part of the atmosphere of contamination. And so one must be careful. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So on the remembrance day, if I go to the temple of the goddess, will I be committing an offense not an offense like me? Will I be deviating from exclusive devotion to Lord Krishna? Can I impose my devotion to Krishna on that?
Yes.
There's
no problem. Yes, for instance, we can pray to a deva to give us unalloyed devotion of Krishna. There's no problem. Just as, for instance, we must be careful as we are being unalloyed to Krishna, that we're not offensive to various types of servants of Krishna. So we're not to offend the devas or demigods. We normally do not worship them because we go exclusively to Krishna, but if for some particular reason we want to make an approach to them in relation to helping us to be a better bhakta of Krishna, then that is, there's nothing wrong with that. So in this case, your mother is connected with this particular deva. It's your duty to honor your mother in a devotional way. At the same time, you are a Krishna bhakta. And so just as when Lord Chaitanya even offered obeisances, you know, to the Mayavadis, when he went to the temple of Jiva, he offered obeisance. So we offer, but our consciousness is in consciousness of Krishna. And so as you make a prayer, or as you honor and think of your mother in such a way, and her connection to her is today, and then you are connecting with that in the spirit of a Krishna bhakta. And this will be also auspicious for her as well. Yes. But what is right?
Question of aparad, at some point the question of forgiveness.
Yes.
So we see, like with the case of Vasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj, Vasa was sent to Ambarish to seek forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, especially in the question of Vaishnava dealings, we may offend a Vaishnava, or mm-hmm. we may be the person who is offended and somebody approaches us and seeks forgiveness. Can you talk a little about what actually the forgiver does?
Because the forgiver is always supposed to be the well-wisher of everyone, as well as everybody should be to each other. So, actually, when someone offends a devotee, the devotee feels sad that that person is hurting their own devotional life. Devotee really should not be angry. Doesn't mean that one should accept that the offense was okay, that one should consider that what happened wasn't so bad. No. Forgiving doesn't mean that we allow ourselves to, you know, to be a doormat, let something keep happening to us, or that we are impersonal and we are saying that what the person did wasn't so great, wasn't so serious. But forgiving means that every moment you are concerned about saying yes to Krishna's love, every moment you're trying to be loving, and every moment you're trying to influence the environment to be more Krishna conscious. So when you see someone is hurting their own spiritual life, then one is to be aware and alarmed at such action. But the major sentiment should be a sentiment of sorrow, because the person is really hurting themselves, and they're going to pay. You see.
But then the offender comes to you and says, "Please forgive me." What does forgiving do then? What actually transpires that you can say yes, I forgive you?
Well, it's important for the offender to say yes, because if the offender holds the grudge, I'm sorry, if the receiver holds the grudge because somebody has offended them, then they're taking away from their own humanity and spirituality. See, when we forgive someone, it's really something you do for yourself. Because if you do not forgive, then you're shutting down some of your own mercy, spirituality. If you do not forgive, you're also weakening your physical body. Because when we do not forgive, and we hold anger and grudge, it has its own way of attacking the cells, the immune system, just physically. But there are many people who are sick due to the fact that they're angry or they're holding grudges. See, the mind does unusual things, especially the hypothalamus. When we're thinking, what we're thinking, the culture of what we're thinking affects our body. Because the it's like what's happening in the mind is sending messages to the neurotransmitters throughout the body. And so often, what we're having in the mind is attacking various organs. And so people don't realize how much they've made themselves very, very sick from being angry, from being very fearful, very disturbed, holding grudges in such a way. So it's really more something that one does for one's own self. Even if someone who offends you doesn't even come and ask for forgiveness even, to just hold ill will toward them, then you're allowing yourself to come down to their level. You're allowing that person to constantly, repeatedly assault you or attack you. It's like many people have had something early in their life or some other point in time when somebody has hurt them, offend them. And the average person carries that year after year after year after year. So it's like you're constantly letting that person assault you again and again and again. Say somebody was abused, physically, even sexually. And so, even though someone has done something wrong to them, and the wrong is wrong, we don't identify wrong, we don't identify what's right. But at the same time, the person wants to be able to forgive, because they don't want that to keep assaulting and attacking them day after day, month after month. So forgiveness is also a way to live in the present and the future, and not to be living in the past. People want to keep living in the past, they will minimize so much of their spiritual and human growth and acceleration, because they're constantly living with fear, cynicism, with pain. And they're minimizing being able to be loving and divine. And so we forgive because we are ready each moment to say yes to Krishna and to be fully ready to receive Krishna's mercy. And we also forgive to be forgiven ourselves, because we are not always aware of how many times that we have consciously or unconsciously offended someone. And so we want to be forgiven, and so it's our duty to, you know, to forgive others also. And this is why when Mahaprabhu or Lord Chaitanya is saying you must go to the offender, he is helping us to understand that when something like that happens, there's this unusual type of connection, bonding that happens between, you know, both parties. And he's saying, so you go to that person you've offended and you ask for forgiveness so that one can be cleared from some of the karmic reaction. Any last question? Yes.
So many so-called devas.
Yes.
Is there a chance that we might be just praying to someone who's actually not, I think, God devotees, or not in that category?
Well, that's one of the reasons why we just pray to Krishna. It's like the idea of watering the root of the tree, and then everything that's connected with the tree automatically, it benefits. But if you're trying to water each branch, it's overwhelming, and you may miss something. You still may not get, you know, the full watering that's necessary. And so this is one of the reasons why we, you know, we go right to the source. It's like, for instance, sometimes you're trying to do some business, or you're trying to arrange something, some contract, and somebody says, I can help. And maybe they can, maybe they can't. But you're able to go to the source, then you know, okay, this is authorized, and like that. So some of the devas, there are many different types of devas, and many easy pleased, easily disturbed, and also it's like, you know, it's like a form of bribery. And what happens when the big man finds that you're trying to go around him? You see, there can be, you know, different kinds of difficulties. And sometimes somebody's just saying, okay, I can do it, and they really can't. Take your money and they disappear. Or they take your money, then they say, well, oh, so you're complaining? Okay, let's go to the authorities. And they know you want, because the whole deal wasn't authorized. So the idea is that we do not want to be offensive or impersonal toward the fact that there are many, many Aishwaryas or controllers, but we want to go to the Paramishwar. We want to repose our love with the deepest connection to Krishna, because Krishna himself is letting us know, Hamsa Vasa Pababo Mataksavam Bhavadite Iti Mata Bhajante Ma Buddha Bhava Samamataha. But all material and all the spiritual things are ultimately coming from him. Yes. Yes, if we can gradually come to the point, we can become like puppets for Krishna to use us and to guide us. And that's what's really happening with the pure devotees, is that there's no false ego, there's no lust, there's no motive to nature or mahatattva. There's none of these things that are obstacles that cause stagnance or interference. And because of such things not being there, then one becomes like a puppet for a Christian. There's a certain category called Saktavesha or Avesha, where the different categories of Avesha, but one category is where one has so much desire to help and to serve, and has so much compassion for people who are suffering. So much desire to see righteousness, truth, that the task is far beyond their own facilities, resources. But Krishna sees that the desire is so anti-material and so powerful that Krishna himself complements or facilitates or allows a ray of him to enter into the form of that person. So now that entity can do far beyond what would be normal in their capacity, you know, to be able to do. So one can have just so much desire to help people, so much affection and so much love at the way people are suffering, and that Krishna can empower that person in such a way that they can do far beyond what they would normally be able to do. So it's a little late, maybe we'll take this as the last question. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to come back to the subject of Aparatha.
Thank you. So the last question is, in terms of fear, we know that if you're too fearful about something, sometimes you even make that happen, that you know that you're trying to avoid. If you're too fearful, you're afraid to do the right thing or something that you can do because too much paranoia. We ought to be afraid of Maya. We should not become relaxed where there is so much potential danger. But at the same time, over and above our fear should be our strong shraddha or faith in Krishna and his ability to carry out what he has promised. That we surrender, he will reward us accordingly, and he will maintain what we have and carry what we lack. So we conclude there, so we know that devotional service is a dual process. It's a process of the poverty of knowing what is to be done and doing those things. But just knowing what is to be done is not sufficient, because then we may still be bothered by what we shouldn't do. And just looking at what we shouldn't do is not enough, because we have to be active. And we have to, we have to channel the lower to something higher. So they go hand in hand. Understanding the importance, the significance of being involved in this Raja Vidya, this royal path of devotion, and at the same time, understanding how powerful Nesins is, and to what degree that Maya will try to work very hard to try to stagnate. It's like a thief. Does a thief want to rob some place where there's no money, no wealth, no opulence? No. Does Maya want to really intervene where one is not accelerating or doesn't have much already? But Maya will make special attacks where there is gradual spiritual opulence that's growing. And that's why we have to be very, very careful to protect the devotional creeper. And the main way, one of the main ways we do it is we avoid aparads. ISKCON found the charge of His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Sirvavachi. A.C. Goni Daiki.